What's up, good people? Welcome to Evolution Ave, home of real estate evolved and the limitless mindset and the business athletes. Man, I got a special show right now. I got my man, and we're doing something really special. We're putting together a series that we're going to tell you a little bit more about. But I got my man, Martin Dockery, here. Marty Marr, what's up, baby?
How you doing, man?
How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling
great, man. It's a pleasure to have you in here, bro, because
it's a pleasure to be here.
You know, we've been building for a while. We're doing business. We're doing some great things out here.
That's
you're
right.
Doing great things for the communities and the cities around you.
Yeah.
Man, it's just reconnecting with you, man, was a blessing. It's just the grand architect of the universe just putting us back together, bro, after years and years, man. Because me and Martin go back, right? We go back. Way back, right? And you know, we reconnected speaking at Trenton High, putting some good words into the youth coming up at Trenton High, probably 6 months, a year ago or something like that. And
that's
ever
the
since
first, the definition of energy is not created or destroyed, it is transferred, right?
Yep.
Because our energy brought us back together because we pushing for the same thing.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely, man. So it's a beautiful thing we're doing out here, man, and we're gonna make some things happen. Let's get right into it, bro. So one, bro, how's everything, bro? What's been good, man?
Life is beautiful, man. I'm really blessed, man. This is I call it my second life.
Right,
man.
Right.
Yeah, life is really beautiful, man. We doing a lot of things. I'm trying to transform not only myself, I'm growing, but I'm trying to get in touch with other brothers that want to transform
their
life into something greater.
Transformation. It's all about that transformation.
And let's aspire to be greater than they told us we could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, bro. So let's get into this, man. You know, your history, your story, I think it's super impactful. You got a heck of a story to share. And then the short time you've been back, right? Mm-hmm. I'll let you tell what that means and what's the backstory behind that. Mm-hmm. The short time you've been back and what you've been able to do is an inspiration, not only to people that were in your position, but people that are in positions like me and everybody else in the world, right? Are you in a place that is a prison or you feel stuck, right? And you need to have a breakthrough. You need to break out and you need to make things happen and get out here and flourish. So let's get into the first question, my bro. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and name something that you're super thankful for.
All right. My name is Martin Dockery. I'm a real estate investor. That's my day job. I'm a serial entrepreneur.
We're going to get into that. Bro done been in. You came out smoking, bro.
Came out, and I tried every punch it was. You know what I'm saying? I tried to hit it with everything I got. But, my day trade is real estate investor, but I'm definitely a serial entrepreneur. What was the next question?
Name something that you're super, super thankful for. Name some of the things that you do. You real estate.
Real estate. I run a rental car business. I'm part-time property manager.
Okay.
I run a property management company. And, that's my main day-to-day things. I do, give back to the community by going back in my hoods and speaking to the guys. Nothing that I really kind of market, but just do on my own accord. And then I was, at one time I was a drug counselor, but when I started being more involved in my real estate business, I kind of swallowed up my time.
Gotcha.
So I kind of but I want to get back into that.
Okay.
And we working on some reentry things. I want to do a reentry work and help these guys, transition from, incarceration to being a successful person and just wanting more in life and just wanting a positive life, and we know what a negative life like. And so so what I'm super grateful and blessed to have is just more time.
Yeah, I hear that, bro.
I love the more time thing because it's my second life.
Right.
Like, I felt like my first life, I could have been gone in like 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, but here I am at 47 years old, still standing tall.
So. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I love it, bro. I love it. So name something. Last part of it was name something that you're super thankful for.
Super thankful for, I think, health. I want to say health. You know, I see, like, even people, no matter what, where you from, what you do, health, it can't be bought. It can't be manipulated. You know what I'm saying? Either you got good health or you got bad health. And I'm super healthy, be thankful for health and just a strong physical makeup and mental, strong mental makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Life is, I really have found out recently how gratitude is the key to life. Like, gratitude is the key. Like, waking up in the morning, we shared something before we started recording about, you know, just making sure you pray and pray together with the people you care about, your inner circle. But I just been really focusing a lot of my think time, meditation time, whatever people want to do, on gratitude being that vehicle that really takes me to those thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. Just being thankful. So, yeah, that's dope, bro. So talk to us more about your journey, bro. Talk to us more about the journey, starting with growing up, which is a special subject for me because you are my fellow Trentonian. We from the town. That's always near and dear to my heart to hear about those experiences. Talk about the early years, how you arrived to where you are today, and everything in between. This is your show, so whatever you want to share, go as deep as you want in the journey. Floor is yours, bro.
All right. First, I want to say that gratitude, I want to speak on that gratitude, right? Gratitude is like the appreciation of grace, because God gives us grace, you know, and we show that gratitude is the showing of that respect and that appreciation of the grace that God gave us. You know what I'm saying? Because grace gets you through everything. You know, you think that you doing it on your own, but lo and behold, God is always carrying you. I want to just throw that out there. I ain't super religious, but I'm definitely super spiritual. You know what I'm saying? I got a connection, and I believe that, you know, me creating that connection is what brought my life back around and evolved me into the man that I am today.
Got you.
Yeah, so and now get into my background.
Yeah, so talk about the background, right?
All
right, so
let's go.
The journey. Start from growing up.
All right, so I want to break down my life in three phases.
All right, bet. That's a great way to do it, bro. Because I mean, look, because honestly, you know, look, we in our golden years, it could be a long stretch, right? But we want to keep everybody's attention, and we giving y'all this, but we got so much more coming. Yeah. So, all right, break it down for us.
So my first phase of my life is the caterpillar phase, right? My first phase of my life is the caterpillar phase and I'm going to tell you what all it tells the caterpillar phase to me, right? It's like growing up, I grew up in North Trenton. My mother was, great, great woman. Unfortunately, she was addicted to, you know, crack cocaine. And, so I went through that whole experience as growing up as in the ghetto, in the hood, mother crack, doing crack, father doing whatever. And, you know, and then that eventually led me into the life of, you know, going to the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Growing up a street dude and started getting in trouble with the law. Eventually that led me to, from youth house to straight to prison. Youth house is prison, but
right.
From youth prison to adult prison to, you know, just doing mad time, incarceration from various crimes, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, you know, from petty theft to all the way to, like, you know, federal felonies, you know what I'm saying? To armed bank robberies. So, I went through that phase of my life, which is, you know, all a part of my caterpillar stages of me just crawling around, figuring out my way in this world. And, you know, basically, like, the, you know, I mean, I had a bad spades hand, you know what I'm saying, starting off. But, you know, God gives you grace and to change the hand. There's always
Absolutely.
Another hand in spades, right? Everybody know that, right?
Absolutely.
Everybody gets no spades this time and seven in the possible next time. So let's go.
Absolutely.
You know, so now the hand that I dealt down is, you know,
right.
I got a strong eight.
Here you go.
So we can go wheels if you got one and a half.
Right. I rock with it, man.
Yeah.
I rock with it. All right. So that's phase one.
So, and then my cocoon stage. My cocoon stage was my incarceration period.
Okay.
So,
that's a good way to look at it, right? The cocoon stage. I'm interested in this one. Tell me more.
So my cocoon stage was me basically from 11, the ages of 11, my caterpillar born to 11.
Right.
This is how I break it down.
Right.
And then from 11 to 45 was my cocoon stages.
Okay.
So them the stages where basically I went through incarceration, in and out the system, caught up in that whole whirlwind, just not having respect for myself, I think was a big thing, and not having confidence, not having leadership, because, you know, the guys that I looked up to was like in the streets, you know what I'm saying? For the reasons of me, you know, growing up in the streets.
I mean, we all did. That's what we didn't know CEOs and
entrepreneurs, that people that own.
We didn't know that.
The only person I knew that owned a business growing up was my uncle. His name was Freddie Glover.
Okay.
And he had a store in Wilbur Section. But, you know, my uncle was a famous pimp, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, so I didn't really know straight up cats. You know what I'm saying? Even like, you know, being in foster homes and stuff, I grew up around religious people, but religious on the outside to the world. But inside their houses, they was very, very flat out evil. You know what I'm saying? These people was like, you know, they was pillar of the community to the outside world, but inside the world they was tortures of little kids. So I went through that. So I can speak on that. I can testify on that.
Right.
But so now I'm dealing with my cocoon stages. It was me going through that whole incarceration, in and out of prison thing.
Mm-hmm. Where How many years? That's
that's from 11 to 45, which is roughly 34 years of in and out of incarceration.
You said that when we spoke. I remember you said I've been in and out for 33 years. Yeah, I was just like, and then in my head, I'm just like, somehow I forget how old we are, too. I'm 33 years. I'm like, trying to calculate that. I'm like, what?
But 33 years, bro. Me being arrested, going to the youth house, coming home, visiting the streets, living in jail. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, I went through that phase of doing 10 years to doing 7 years, 6 years, doing 5 years here, coming home for a couple months and going right back in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, just never giving myself a chance, you know what I'm saying, to do nothing more. I mean, I got reasons, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, I take that on that onus I take on myself, because I never gave myself a chance to do better, even though I think, like, for a long time, I knew, and the people around me knew that I had potential to do things better. But just being caught up in that whole perception of Carson, you know, just, you know, going through that whole phase, you know, in that Cancun stage, right? And you just learning and evolving. Like, it wasn't... I had to go through, that's my hard knock stage too, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so dealing with that whole thing, so that's my cocoon stage.
So let me kind of dive deep into the cocoon stage a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the cocoon stage, you're in and out, what was that breaking point? Like, so, because I mean, you're in and out for 34 years. And, you know, I know some of your story and some of the reasons you went in, some of the reasons you went out. One thing I will note, like, I got to tell you something about Martin. Martin is... a big-hearted dude. Like, I don't want you to get this perception that somebody went to prison, especially for the length of time you went, that it's this criminal, this evil, this person. That's not Martin, right?
That's not me.
Never was. And I know that because I've known you since we were kids, right? And you know people's heart and their intentions, right? Like, we got a lot of homies that they're not bad people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just we make some decisions, we do some things, whatever. A lot of times, I mean, look, the world is ran off of a lot of things. It's just people get some people get caught, some people don't.
I say I got a master at criminology sociology.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you this: that being a guy that's been incarcerated, right? I ran across a number of people from different walks of life, right? And the majority of the people that I ran across wasn't a criminal by choice. They was a criminal by circumstance. And what I mean by that is, you got a guy that rob a person, snatch a purse, right? For a couple hundred bucks. If he had 30,000, you think he'd snatch a purse?
Right.
If he had 10,000, you think he'd snatch a purse? So his circumstances was that he was broke, right? And you got like young kids that do stuff where like they feel like this is their only choice. You know what I'm saying? Because so they not in heart. Now, I know some killers, too.
Don't we all, right?
Now, I know some killers, too. I've been in federal pen, so I know killers straight up that and chop you, shoot you, and shoot you in the point blank range.
Right.
Play with you. And there are evil people in this world. Right. Unfortunately, that's the devil and the God in this world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The duality of life. But the majority of people that I've ran across in jail are not criminals. They are not cold-hearted people. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, people label, politician label, society paints this picture, of course, right? But it's a thin line between a incarcerated person and a person that ain't incarcerated,
right,
especially in this country and the way the criminal system is set up. And more even of our people, you know, we skating on very thin lines, you know what I'm saying, of it can be one day you can be instantly driving down the street.
And next day you're a criminal.
And next day you're a criminal. We've seen it all the time. It happened so many times.
They create a narrative. And they paint a narrative.
And they paint a narrative. So, and mass incarceration is one of the biggest businesses in the United States. Because one of the most profitable businesses.
Well, prisons are privately owned, right?
Prisons are, a lot of them are privately owned, yes.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And they make money the more inmates they have.
They make money the more. So the system is set up like this from the streets, right? You got these detectives and these squads, right? These detectives and squads get money funded by how many arrests they make.
Right.
So if this squad is making 100 arrests, you need more money to make more arrests. If this squad is making 50 arrests, you only get like 20,000.
Right.
But this squad is making 100 arrests, you won't get 100 bands. So, and these cops get kicked out bonuses in the amount of arrests they make, right?
Right.
So, here it go. Pursuit of happiness.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
The pursuit of happiness, right?
It is.
So, now you go to jail, right? You're in jail, right? You know how much they get paid per inmate. I mean, it's between, last time I looked, it was like averaging 30 bands per inmate a year.
Oh, so just add the numbers up, yeah.
That's
crazy, man. So when did breakthrough come through? When did breakthrough come through?
My breakthrough came through evolved over time.
Okay.
It's an evolution.
But there was a last straw.
It was a last straw, and I remember, like, if I had to pick a moment, it was the time that I got arrested for burglary. I remember getting in the back of that paddy wagon. And I remember feeling that feeling of just being ashamed,
right?
Like, damn, you ain't learned your lesson yet? I mean, how many brick walls your head got to hit for you to wake up?
Right.
And at that moment, in that back of that paddy wagon, I came to the realization, I said, you know what, God? I'm going to pay for this.
Pay for it as in do the time?
I'm going to do the time. I'm going to go to jail right now. They're going to book me. I'm going to go down. I'm going to get sentenced because I know they're not going to let me go away scot-free.
Right.
Just on my history alone.
Right.
So I'm going to go to jail, but this is going to be it. This is going to be it. So squeeze blood out of rock.
What was the difference, though? Because you never said that before?
I don't know if I said it before and meant it. Like, I don't know. I mean, I said it. But I never put the action behind it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can say a lot of things. I can say I want to be a millionaire.
Right.
And be, you know, with a cup on the corner. So.
So you went in, how long you had to do? And that last time?
That last time I had to do, I did roughly 8 months, I think.
28 months. So that 28 months, you just stayed focused on this is it.
That 28 months, man, you know what's the difference between, like, being in and out? The other times I went in, tried some sit time. This time, the only pissing piece to me was my mental.
Okay.
Meaning, when I went out before and did try to do good, I wasn't mentally able to endure the rough times. Like, when things wasn't going right, I got a job. They fired me because they felt like I had a record. And they, and all this crazy stuff and how and life took me through so many changes. Right. And I wasn't mentally prepared for that. So I know a lot of guys that's been incarcerated that are incarcerated that are studying to come out and get into the whatever profession they're in.
Sure.
Whether it's entrepreneurship or whatever career profession it is, and even being community leaders. But what you got to be ready for as studying that is the mental side. And a lot of us people, as our people, light skin, whatever, we don't deal with the mental side of things. So we got to tap into that too.
There's no real healing in this world.
Yeah, you got to deal with it. And I ain't deal with a lot of my ghosts. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, I'm in therapy. I take therapy not because I'm crazy.
I love therapy.
Yeah, I love therapy.
And we don't do it enough. We're not healing enough. We're not expressing enough. A lot of times, our culture, we're taught to, we're not even taught, we just don't know that we can let it out. And we have a space to let it out. So I love, my therapist is amazing. I love therapy.
And mental therapy is
definitely necessary. Meditation is necessary. Do you meditate?
Yeah, I meditate.
Meditation.
You know what's my meditation? I ain't gonna say I sit in a quiet room and talk, but my meditation is the gym.
Okay.
Like when I'm mentally.
Well, you know, meditation is the wrong thing is too. People think meditation is stopping your mind. Yeah. You can't stop your mind. It's not possible. Meditation is just, you know, being one with your thoughts. Obviously, you should be thinking of positive thoughts and great thoughts, or just trying to think of nothingness in general. But even nothingness is something. So. Yeah. That was a big thing. Like I was out in L.A., man. I did some deep meditation, that spiritual entrepreneurship 2-day mastermind I was at. But yeah, man. But I don't mean to cut you off. But
No, that was that. No,
but the gym is your form.
The gym is what the two things that helped me mentally survive being in prison. Right. One was reading, and the second was working out. Right. Okay. When I went in prison, like when I got locked up by the feds and I went in, I lived very unhealthy, meaning that like I ain't know what I was taking into my body. I ain't know none of that.
They feed you 3 times a day?
In prison?
You talking about in prison or outside?
No, I'm saying outside of prison. When I was out living reckless, committing crimes. I was living like eating cheeseburgers every day. Right. You know what I'm saying? And when I went in prison in that time, I got tapped into like, you know, mental health. I tapped into physical health.
Right.
I tapped into all these different things and started. And then that was the beginning of my evolution into the man I am today.
Gotcha.
Because that's when and then reading, right? I was always a big reader. My dad came home from prison, introduced me to Donald Goins in the early 90s for all them people out there that book read and Donald Goins was the hood novels before it was hood novels, before the Shannon Holmes and then Terry what's her name for Philly? So before all of them, it was Donald Goins, right? Yep. And Iceberg Slim. You know what I'm saying? So my dad introduced me to reading, and I remember I used to read like them, and then I went into like Dean Koontz, Stephen King. I was a big reader ever since.
What's the one dude, the book I got upstairs? You read his book too. It's just like The Secret Laws of Success. Think You Grow Rich for Black People.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Dennis Kimball.
Dennis Kimball.
I am not only a fan of Dr. Dennis Kimball in his literature. You know what I'm saying? I am I mention that book so much because that is like one of the books that awakened my business spirit in my mind that really showed me, like told me in a book that I can do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I really recommend anybody out there that's looking for like mind state things, you know what I'm saying? Because to me, at this point in my life, I understand business, but mind state is what's going to bring you profitability and it's going to bring you more value to yourself.
Yeah. Dopeness, mind state. Man. So you had that epiphany. Let's fast forward. Thought and that conviction, commitment to yourself. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, 28 months later.
28 months later, I step out the prison, right? I don't got nothing. Like, I'm starting my life from 45 years old. I'm broke financially, but mentally, I'm a billionaire. Because I see it. I'm like, I don't know what y'all doing. Y'all playing, right?
So, did you see what I posted the other day? Everything that exists was once imagined, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're not imagining that we're millionaires or billionaires or, you know, CEOs or starting a business, whatever it is, it can't happen. Yeah. But for it to exist, we have to imagine it.
That's
so you did the right thing coming out right off the jump.
Right off the jump, I said, you know what? I'm 45. Excuse me. I know my DNA is not to work and take orders from nobody. I love working, but, you know, I don't like working for people because, you know, just in my own mind state, right? Not workers, but that's what I don't like working for nobody. And I figure I'm 45. I don't got no retirement plan. I'm starting off with zero. If I go work for somebody for 20 years and collect the pension,
that's going to be a challenge.
That's going to be a hamster race. I'm going to die.
Yep.
Stressing over somebody else. They're going to pay me a little penny off.
Did you get a job when you came out or no? No, no, like side job, well, no little small. No. They don't require you get a job when you first come home, or no?
No, I ain't. Nah, I'm off papers, right? I bullied federal parole. I ain't gonna lie to you. I bullied them. It was during COVID. I was coming home. Only had a year left.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, I'm not getting a job. Like, I'm in a house. Oh, you know what I told him? I was gonna go to school, right? And I went to school online to be a personal trainer, right? So that was my job, right? Because either you go to school or work.
Right.
So I just said, you know, I was online doing personal training work. And, they went to school for that. So they swallowed that pill. And I only had a year left. So they was tired of dealing with me. I was on papers forever. So I think they just was fine with me not re-violating by catching no new charges. So
right. Dope. So, all right, you come out.
Yeah.
Right. The world is your oyster, bro.
The world is my oyster because
I think the mentality that I think, like, you know, I said something and we'll get more into that because we're gonna talk about our series. But whether or not, if you're not where you want to be, whether you're in prison physically or you're in prison mentally, you're in a prison of your mind or you're in a prison.
You know what's crazy, bro? I'm gonna tell you some real stuff.
Word.
And this is not like pointing fingers, but I see a lot of people that was living, like my time away, that was really living in a prison because they haven't moved up the block, down the block, around the corner. They don't own the block. You know, they doing the same thing. They've been, some of them probably been just standing out there still.
Right.
Some of them are trying to make progress. Some of them are in motion but not making progress because it's different between motion and progress, right?
Right.
So some of them in motion but not making progress because I know a lot of busy, broke people. You know what I'm saying? So
That's most of the world.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. Yeah. I'm busy as hell.
Yeah, that's most of the world.
But, and then, can I hold up $1? I say, well, what was you busy doing? Because I ain't that busy. If I ain't getting no money, my time worth something. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, so coming home from that whole thing, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get at this business. I ain't know what exactly I was going to do or what is that, but I knew I was going to be some type of entrepreneur, some type of boss, some type of CEO. You know, when I came home before that time, I started LLC. So I knew something about how to navigate the LLC business world. And while I was in prison, I actually practice on people by helping people do credit repair.
Okay.
I was telling people.
So you learned the credit repair? Because you know, that was a big, that's a big business out here.
So I told people, I was like, yo, I can do your credit.
Right,
you know, just family members and friends. I'm like, yo, send your credit, get your free credit report. And I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to break it down.
Send the letters out. Yeah.
And I started doing stuff like that. I started doing a little bit of paralegal work because I got my paralegal certificate in prison. So I started that. I took every certificate it was.
Right.
That I knew that was transferable to life in the world. I took accounting 101. I took vending machine 101. I was in the CDL class, but I didn't finish it because I went to the hole. And I took 101 carpet construction work, right? So I took that, right? And so when I came home, so I started my first business when I came home. I was selling gift baskets because
You told me.
Yeah, because now in prison I had a business selling cards. I sold pictures of like Nicki Minaj's, Erykah Badu's, all the girls that had.
So wait a minute, you was being an entrepreneur in prison?
Definitely. Listen, in prison, anybody that was incarcerated, right, want me to tell you, I had every hustle in the prison. So I had a store, which in jail is like basically like you stack a lot of commissary.
Right.
So when the people run out of the commissary, you can sell it to them. And they call it 2-for-1. So for whatever item you get from, you got to give me back double.
Right,
get a bag of chips, give me back 2 at store.
Get a
candy bar, you give me back 2 at store. You get back cookies, you give me 2 back at store.
Right.
So they call it 2-for-1. And I used to do that, right? And then I started from there. I used to keep a lot of commissary. So I started a poker table. So the guys that ain't have commissary and you had to bring money to the game. So I started loaning them out. You know, like loan sharking, right?
Right.
Started that in prison. Started doing, like, in the prison I was in, you ain't get, like, cards on commissary. It was, like, blank. You had to write your own sayings in there. So a lot of people that's incarcerated, no knock on my people. Education ain't crazy.
Right.
You know, you got a few. But so I started getting the Hallmark cards from the dollar store, getting my people to send them in, and I would charge them $6, $7 a card in jail.
Right.
For something I was getting from the dollar store for a couple of change. My family sent
them in. Dollar Pete, 99 cents.
Started that. I had a contract with Kodak. where I was getting pictures off the internet, and my peoples are basically like, take pictures off the internet of like the thick girls, K Michelle. Shout out to K Michelle, who made me tons of money. Shout out to Nicki Minaj, that made me tons of prison money. Kept my locker full.
Right.
Shout out to Erykah Badu when she stripped it in a video in Dallas.
That was crazy.
Yeah, crazy. I went crazy off of her. Shout out to Pink from the porno man. Pinky.
Shout out to not Pinky. Not that I watch her, but yeah.
You know, no, I mean, they famous amongst our culture. You know what I'm saying? So, and shout out to who else got me money in prison? All the girls with the nice shapes.
So you basically just took that hustle in prison. So that 2 years you was going to capitalize on it, right? You knew you was done and you was never coming back, and you came out and started.
I applied it to the.
You did the gift baskets first.
I did the gift. All right. So listen, let me tell you how I started the gift baskets. So listen, I transitioned from the cards to the gift baskets. What I knew was I was coming home. I had my date to come home, and I was coming home a month before Valentine's Day. So already I knew that if I started the gift baskets around Valentine's Day, I would get a jump on it, right?
Right.
So in prison, I made up a flyer. I sent it to my boys that was in other prisons, sent it around my prisons and saying I got gift baskets starting at $65 a gift basket. Put your pre-order them now. And when you come, you know, you get your gift baskets sent to you. So while I was in, I could get my girl, the girl that I was, you know, rocking with at the time, get her to either drive them, deliver them,
right,
to mail them, or wait till I come home and do it myself. So I took all these orders in jail and started selling. But what I did was when I got to the streets, I started advertising it on social media and just word of mouth.
Sending it to cats in prison.
Send it to their girls on the street.
Well, the girls on the street. Got you.
So like they'll order gift baskets. Because in prison, you need something sweet to keep your girl coming to see you, throwing cash on your book. So the dudes in jail, they draw. Like, there are, it's so many.
Like, artists. I got some artwork.
No, it's so many intelligent people in jail. They horn into them skills. And basically, like, they can really be successful.
Right.
But, you know. I know why people do crimes is crimes of situational crimes. And, you know, they just ain't got the money to sit back. They got to worry about feeding their family you know, so, you know, that's a whole different thing. But, you know, so I started that hustle. So when I came home, I started selling clothes, right?
Okay.
I would go get boosters with stealing me clothes. I would buy clothes. I would go to flea markets. I would go to Cowtown. I would go to Columbus. I would buy me a table. I would set out there and sell clothes.
Like urban wear?
Urban wear, fake designer wear.
Right.
Urban wear, real urban wear that I would buy from the booster if I can get it from a low discount.
Right.
I would go to like clearance racks at Macy's, Nordstrom, buy, you know, they have stuff on discount. I would pick out the nice stuff that I liked it, that I think I rock, that somebody else would rock, and I would pick out that and I resell them. I might buy, you know, for $15, sell it for $25, $30. And I was even shipping boxes around to different states, and I had a girl in Florida that her boyfriend was locked up with me, and she used to do Facebook Live, and she used to sell pocketbooks for me. So I used to ship it to her. I used to send big boxes to her.
Word.
And she used to sell them on Facebook Live. And then I went from there to get me selling out my trunk to basically like going to partnership with this guy. And he had a barbershop where he was selling clothes, and I started selling clothes out of there. Then I leased me another space. I started selling clothes out of there. And then I eventually bought in partnership with this guy, got into the barbershop business, got into the hair salon business.
Got into the barbershop? Barbershop's a profitable business, right? I mean,
I started at the wrong time. I started during COVID.
And,
COVID, when barbers I came home, I told you COVID was going on. I couldn't keep enough employees in there.
Right.
And in Jersey, it was actually illegal to rent the chairs. I was renting the chairs. I didn't even know that.
Right? Yeah, I didn't never understand why it was illegal to rent chairs. I thought that was the way they did business. But
I ain't find out till after I got out the business.
Yo, and you told me one story that I still can't get over sometimes, bro. You was contracting.
Oh yeah. So all right. So you want to get I was going to take you through all the because it's
no deep. take me through it.
All right.
But
so
the contracting one was just one that it's funny to me. All right. Go ahead.
So I transitioned from the barbershop, getting into the vending machine business. I remember I told you I took that in prison.
Right.
So I tried that
vending machine. As much money as the gurus say it is in vending machines.
If you got a million of them joints,
because
I mean, it wasn't for me. And I'm gonna say this though, I wasn't successful And I look back and see my why I was successful. One is you got to have a popular place that use vending machines a lot. I had mine in the garage.
Listen to this, right? I was in Uber, headed to the airport, leaving L.A. And the Uber driver was telling me about, like, you know, we're talking about the homeless population in L.A. And she said, but, you know, I was homeless for a while. And I was like, well, why do y'all, like, stay homeless and not just go home? Where none of y'all from here.
Yeah.
She said, well, nobody wants to say L.A. defeated us. But she's like, but you do know I was a bank teller, and there were homeless people that used to come in and deposit $20,000 to $30,000 a month, right, into their savings accounts. I was like, what? She was like, if you're homeless and you sit on the right place, you can collect $2 per hour, and you stay out there for 10 hours, and then by the end of the week, you got X. I mean, she broke down the homeless economy. She was like, a lot of them.
You never see that on CNN?
No, and then she was saying how, like, the homeless people, they'll keep doing it because one is tax-free money, right? They put it in a savings account. And they never, that's just what they do. They never really have to work.
They never have to work. And it's like, yo, bro, I used to be the one, like, always, like, believe in the karma and give back.
And so see homeless people giving bread. Well,
one day I was in Newark. This when I was in the halfway house. This guy was riding through. I remember it was like a Burger King around the corner from the halfway house. And, like, in a halfway house, like, basically you eat out the vending machine or get you something to eat while you out, and you can bring it in if you like that. Because I say it wasn't the rule, but, you know, the counselors, whatever, you know how to go in a halfway house. So anyway, you know, I stopped at a Burger King. The guy was in the drive-thru, and I was like, bro, like, you ain't nothing wrong with you. Like, you can go get a job. Man. And he was like, give me the money. I was like, I'm not giving you no money. I'll feed you.
That's what I usually tell him, hey, if I'm going to a restaurant, be here when I come out.
He didn't, he didn't want the food.
I've had several in Philadelphia. I've had several people do
that. The food down.
Bro, one time, don't tell my mom this. Hopefully she probably not listen to this episode. My mom made me some chicken Alfredo or something. She came to my house. But I was like, Mom, is that mushroom sauce? I was like, you know, I don't eat mushrooms.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mom, Trenton, you ain't even going to taste it.
Yeah.
Right? Man, I was like, I could smell it. So, you know me, I wait till my mom leaves, right? And when she leaves, you know, I put it in like four or five styrofoam, them big styrofoam joints. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I was headed over to Philly anyway. And you know how right under the Ben Franklin, all the homeless people at. I just took all five. I went and got some plastic forks and gave it to it was three homeless dudes out there. Like, here, and share it with your peoples or hold it for yourself, whatever. This is like 2 weeks worth of chicken Alfredo.
Yeah.
Bro, I think I went into like Old City. By the time I came back, why these cats were trying to sell my styrofoam?
No, for real.
The styrofoam with the chicken Alfredo with the mushroom sauce that I don't eat.
But, I mean, you know what I learned about, like, giving? Like, you really got to give with the attention of the heart of you got your blessing, right? Because I used to give people, like I had, like, aunts and uncles that was smoking rock.
Right.
And I'm like, I ain't giving you no money. But even though my intention is to give it to them, to give money so they can go eat or do something like that. Now, if they take that money and smoke crack with it, it ain't on me.
It ain't on you. Yeah.
It's on them because I gave it with the intention of that, right?
Right.
So I say that to say because some people, you know, they give to look back. I give blindly with no expectation, but just because it was my aunt. And like I'm not going to give her no $100, the OD on herself, but I'm going to give her $20 or whatever. And, you know, hopefully she do the right thing. That's all I used to do. And, like, even when I was out in the street, bro, I think generally I was always a good person. You know, I do believe that because even doing out my criminality or going through them phases in my Cancun, Cancun phases and Calipella phases when I was getting in trouble, people from them same neighborhoods look back and was like, yo, they still love me. Like in my own neighborhoods, I do so much business in real estate by word of mouth and reference because people still remember that kid that was bad. Kind of I do, I take it back to the stages where people ain't want me on their porch because I used to,
people
my
that.
Age used to be like, even my own family, like it's crazy. Like if me and you and it's your mom and we friends, but my own aunts,
don't let him on my porch.
My own aunts was like, yo, don't have me. I'm like, you know you my whole aunt.
Right.
Like, you don't want
You ain't from the hood if you don't understand. Don't let him. I don't want him on. Like, you and me could be something to the porch. And if your mama don't like somebody, they gotta, should
they
say,
gotta go.
Y'all good, but yo, Jamar can't be on the porch.
Get his ass off my porch.
But you gotta know it. You had to be there.
You gotta be there to know that. Yeah, like so. I definitely was like one of them kids. You know,
right.
Bad but good hearted. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't disrespectful to old people, and that's the, you know, when people talk about that, the generational thing.
Yeah.
If I can pick one thing that I hate about our generation to this generation, is the respect of older people.
It's very different.
That one thing irks me.
And that's across the board too, because even like me, I coach a lot, like football for my son, basketball, whatever. And even like, you know, having younger kids, I'm around their other kids a lot with their parents. And even when I hear how they talk to, like, they don't talk to me that way because I kind of strike a level of fear. But with children, I don't care. I'm big on, I come from the same school you come from. Like, I'm an adult. You ain't going to talk to me. I don't care. You talk to your parents that way. You ain't going to talk to me that way.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm always surprised about that, man. But I want to get into the meat, the convo, but I want you to finish telling. So, all right. Come on, let's walk it.
So, what's that?
The gift baskets.
Sold the gift baskets, the vending machines. Then I transitioned to trucking. I started trucking.
How'd you get into the trucking business?
All right. So
that's another business that I guess it's still popping, but at one point everybody wanted to buy a truck because the gurus were saying trucking this, trucking that, make all this money. But then a lot of people failed because they didn't understand loads, logistics, and all those types of things. So a lot goes into trucking
that we don't understand. Trucking is an unbiased to felons, right? That's why a lot of us come home, formerly incarcerated people.
Right.
I know a lot of brothers that's in the truck. Shout out to all my truckers out there.
Right.
Box trucks. You don't need no CDL, CDL drivers. Them guys that when that road is, it's work, bro. It's definitely work, right? It's a real man job, right?
But how'd you get into it? Because I think you told me, but I want the world to hear the story. Like, just how the universe works.
So, now, like I said, when I was in prison,
Actually, hold up. Before you even start, let's take a quick break.
All
right. But then, right back to how'd you jump into the truck business? How did the universe, all right, we back. So, let's get back to, we left off at the trucking business. So, tell me the story about how you got into trucking. Because, like I said, another popular business. Everybody wanna get into it. But what's the real story? And how'd you get into it? And then, what's the realness behind that real quick?
Yeah. So, the trucking business, I seen it as a way to come up. Basically, when I came home, I didn't have no kids. So, I was like, you know what? I can get into this, stay on the road, make some money. And this is a way I can save money because I'd be always working on the road. So, I was working this job. I went to work for like 3 weeks, right? I worked at this place where I was gonna be driving trucks, and I basically like studied the operation of like how to load, unload trucks, And I was at the job 1 week, and I was gonna stay there for a couple months. I was gonna stay there until I got
get my check up.
I was you know, living off paycheck to paycheck, so I was going to work there. And one of my boys came up that was locked up with me, Omar Akins.
Omar. Shout out to my man.
Shout out to my man. So Omar came up to the job and he pulled up to the docks and he said, "Yo, I got my MC number today. Start my trucking company." I was like, "What?" I remember it was like a Thursday, right? Friday I made it my last day. Monday I put my paperwork in to get my own MC and DOT number. And so when I quit my job, I didn't have time. Like, if I was working at the job I was at, I wouldn't have had time to study the trucking. So I started working at this other job while I was working off the books, making, like, they would pay me every day in, like, a Cash App. It was like a warehousing job. But it allowed me to sit down at the table, put my phone up, watch YouTube every day on trucking. That's what I did.
But did you have a truck?
I didn't even have a truck. But by then, I had a spiritual connection to God. And I'm going to tell you why that's all ties in. All
right.
When I started going to church and recognizing that basically if I make these type of decisions in my life that it please God, he's going to bring whatever I ask for, he's going to bring in my life. So it takes 100, like roughly like, I think it's like 90 to 120 days for your MC to come back.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to work this job, learn the trucking business by YouTubing and learning all I can for free. And then, because I had a plan, and then God's going to bring me my truck.
Right.
That's how I said it. I don't know how I'm going to get the truck, but God gonna bring me the truck, right? I had 1 week left before my MC came back. I'm working at the job. They put this girl across from me. She was talking. We just rapping while we working. And she said, you know, I got a truck, but I want to try the trucking business. Well, I don't got the business. I just got the truck.
How she had a truck?
Before she went in, she bought a truck.
Just with some bread?
She just came out the county.
Okay.
And she had a truck before she went in.
That she intended on eventually starting a business at some point? Okay.
Because she had bought a house. She had a truck. She was smart enough to buy her own house.
Okay.
And basically have a truck. Not saying she was dumb, but she was doing things like that. So she had the truck, and we married, and I had the business. She had the truck, and a week later we was on the road.
Bam! Wow.
That's how I started my trucking business.
Yeah, man. You know they always say, right? Think about the trucking business, right? Let's take the road, right? Mm-hmm. We can only see but so far down the road, but you got to have confidence that you're gonna get to your destination.
And I'm gonna tell you. So now we went into business. So she was like, she got locked up for a violation.
Right.
So now when she get locked up, before she got locked up, I was trying to get me another truck. So I had got a loan from one of my friends, and I went on Marketplace. I remember it. My friends gave me like $7,000. I went on Marketplace, plus the money I had already low made, found a truck for $9,000. This guy named, I never forget, his name is George Tinn.
Like T-N?
T-I-N-N.
Oh, T-I-N-N, okay.
George Tinn. He recently passed away. God bless the George. His name is Greg Tinn.
Greg Tinn.
And God bless Greg Tinn. He was one of my angels, right?
Okay, okay.
So I met him on Facebook one night at 12 o'clock at night. He said, if you come get the truck, I give you $1,000 off. Then I said, but I got to travel. He said, I'll give you another $1,000 off.
$7,000.
So happened. I had.
How does that work like that, bro? Like,
listen, I had a few ones left over, but I just had got the private investor to give me $7,000.
Okay.
One of my friends, right?
Right.
So got the $7,000 check. I flew to the by 8 o'clock. Now, mind you, I meet him on Facebook.
Right.
12 o'clock at night. By 8 o'clock that morning, I was at Philadelphia Airport flying to Memphis, Tennessee.
Tennessee to get it. Wow.
First time ever. I had just got off papers, and I was like, you know what? This is my first time flying in all my life without being on papers.
Wow. So trucking business, and then what?
So started trucking business, was doing that for a while. Mm-hmm. The trucking business took a hit when the gas prices went up. I don't know if anybody remember that.
Yeah, I remember because, like, it was like everybody was doing it, and then, like I said, logistics. I mix in gas with the logistics part of it, and then the art of loads and all that kind of stuff. Like,
I'm gonna tell you what the trucker business. You make so much money, regardless if you knew how to do business, regardless if you knew logistics, regardless if you knew none of that, you was making money to cover for all that mistakes.
Kind of like real estate in a hot market. Anybody can be an agent.
Anybody can be an agent. At that time, anybody could be a trucker.
Okay, got you.
It was very popular to be a trucker.
So what you do after trucking? Because you wasn't in real estate yet.
So I wasn't in real estate yet. So now I meet my lady in my life, right? Mm-hmm. Meet her. She's a real estate. She's going into being a...
Shout out to the Wolfpack.
Shout out to the Wolfpack, Kyra.
Down with the Wolfpack. Yeah, you already know.
Big up to my queen, my rock, my inspiration, my reason, turned me from a hustler to a boss, honestly.
Whoa, I love it. Turned you from a hustler to a boss.
Yeah, she turned me from a hustler to a boss. She slowed me down. Okay. And all I needed was, like, honestly, I had all the drive and the hustle. Sure. I needed to slow down a little bit and, like, kind of map stuff out.
Right.
And she sat me down. I remember she first did it, like, she got this thing where she do your 411, your life information.
Okay.
And she kind of, like, broke it down. I'm like, you know what? Hell yeah, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I started seeing, like, I started evolving to a better businessman.
Word. That's dope, man. They say behind every great man is a great woman, man. Yeah. I think we overestimate. I think social media, too, has created this underestimate the power of a couple. The power of, both ways. I'm not going to sit here and just say, every man needs a woman. Every woman needs a good man, too. And when you come together and that synergy is perfect, they say They did a poll, like they I think it was like 1,000 billionaires, and they asked them like what was the most important thing about them building their wealth or sustainable success. And a lot of them, the average billionaire has been married 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But they said the number one thing is your partner.
Your partner.
Your partner in life.
I am a super believer in that,
yep,
right?
Because your partner in life.
I mean, the person that you lay with, the person that you share your confidence with, the person that you look for approval or encouragement from, mm-hmm,
yep,
is the person that you be around every day, which is most likely is going to be your woman. You know what I'm saying? And the woman is going to be your man.
Right.
So I believe that y'all got to be equally yoked. And equally yoked don't mean, to me, it don't mean we got to be in the same tax bracket.
Right.
It don't mean that we got to be of the same religion. It means that we want the same things in life, right? And I think you got to have the same amount of drive. Because to me, I've been in relationships with people that work, that work like a regular job. Like went to work every day, 9 to 5, collected a check, took off on the weekend, took a vacation every 4 months. And that wasn't conducive to my happiness.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that ain't what I want. And I mean, I got all type of reasons. I got one is I've been locked up a long time, and I'm trying to buy back my time, honestly.
That's a good segue. Mm-hmm. But first, how do you get into real estate?
All right,
I want to get into the buyback of time,
real estate,
but how do you get into real estate?
So now, while her giving me property management jobs,
okay,
right, she would like send me out, like, oh, they need their grass cut by today because I got a closing, or I need a lockbox change, or this, and then we dating, and every day I'm sitting on the phone with clients. I'm like, "Bae, we can't even drive to Atlantic City, 45 minutes away. You got to be on the phone with a client."
Real estate is the most phone demanding thing you can do.
Yeah, it's Saturday night.
Right.
We ride in Atlantic City. It's 9 o'clock at night. You want to talk to investors. You want to talk to clients. Like, what the hell? And as me being in there, I used to get like feel some type of way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Some type. So I had to. So now I started doing property management and all, and I get back to why I argue with her about the time, but got into property management. From there, I started taking on more and more jobs in property management, which evolved me into doing contractor work, right? Mind you, I had minimum training. I had federal training.
Right, federal training.
Federal training, right? So I go into these jobs, and I learned federal training. Plus, when I was younger, my pop, my grandfather and my uncle was contractors, so I used to go on side jobs.
So you had some skill.
I knew how to bang a nail, screw in a screwdriver, do a drill, so I knew basics, right? So I started taking on more and more jobs. So I remember one job I took on this roof job, right?
Wait. What you mean you took on a you're not a roofer?
No, I'm not a roofer. Damn sure ain't no roofer, right? So I took a job because of the money. I need money. So they was like, yeah, we'll pay you like, I think they paid me like, I want to say like 10 grand.
Okay.
Roof, right? That 10K looked like sweet money, right?
Yeah,
so I'm I said, what I do? I just got to go up on the roof, like lay some stuff down over it, staple it down. Like, that ain't nothing. So I went on YouTube. And I seen other roofers do it. And I did what the other roofers did on YouTube.
Put the roof.
I kept pausing it and boom, boom. And I had a work out there and we was doing it together. And he used to work like doing like handyman work and maintenance work. And he did contracting work. So he knew something. And the rest was me just YouTubing it. And
Let me,
that damn roof.
Listen, what's your excuse, right? If you ain't getting money, if you ain't getting what you need to do, you ain't taking care of business, what is your you hear this story? What is your excuse?
Not only did I did the roof though, so let me tell you a funny story my contracting world. So I got in the contracting, had this crew, had this older head working for me, right? And I'm gonna tell you how God works in my life. I had this one guy working for me, he didn't really know what he was doing. I fired him, right? And then the next guy I met, I never took the river line in my life. My truck, my work truck was parked in Trenton. I'm in Burlington at this one I had the office on High Street.
Okay.
My girl had an office on High Street. I used to work out of there with her. And I walked around to the river line. And as I'm sitting there, I'm talking to my pastor on the phone. And a guy was next to me, hearing me talking to my pastor. We got into a conversation. He used to be a union carpenter in Atlantic City. He helped build up Atlantic City. And I was like, damn, I just fired my guy today. And he was like, yo, I need a job. And I hired him.
Okay.
And then he was basically my crew. And then we used to hire laborers
as we go along.
And that's how I started doing, like, taking on these bigger jobs and contracting.
All right.
And so I started doing contractor work. I was doing good because I was doing turnovers and I was doing like little jobs. I was getting paid, I was legally making 10 grand,
right.
15. I was getting $30,000 contracts. And I didn't even know what I was doing. Like, I remember this one house, no bullshit, right? They needed all the plugs changed, right?
Like the electric outlets?
The electrical outlets. I didn't even know. I swear to God, I YouTubed it. And I passed inspections. Yo, I was putting caps on there because you got to
cap it. So you knew everything that needed to be done for the CO and all that, and you just followed the directions.
I was putting cellophanes in. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was putting Bluetooth cellophanes in. Like, I was hooking them joints up, and I didn't even know what I was doing. But you know what I was doing? I was, like, so I was doing these jobs, and I was getting it because... Like, then I wasn't doing financially well. I was, taking the money, spending before the job over with. So, some jobs I was getting stuck in where I couldn't pay nobody. So,
I
got to complete the job. I got
paid already. Right, right.
And I spent some of the money. So, I went in there.
So, was it contract that led you into real estate? Let's talk about real estate for 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, so let me...
Because what you've done in the real estate world in a short period of time is, nothing short of amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a God. So real estate for me, was everything that I had did up so far.
Right.
Helped me with real estate, right? I'm going to tell you, real estate, I don't know if God just prepped me at this time for this because I did. I think it's everything naturally I had embedded in me, everything I had been learning. Just having, being around the real estate world, being with my lady all the time, her being a real estate person, she GCing, doing the project management, she doing property management.
She was GCing too?
Yeah, she's bad. She GCing everything. She got a house she doing, she building from the ground up now.
Right.
Our PA, she built an apartment. Like she's a bad sister. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. It's like she do everything, and so that's my light.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's your light.
So she basically I'm seeing around. Boom, boom, boom. So I was like, yo. So one day she was like, babe, I think you'll be good at this technique they use in real estate to get started called wholesaling. And I was like, wholesaling.
Another big thing, right? A lot of gurus, a lot of seminars, a lot of everything, YouTube. But. It's not as easy as people think it is.
I'm going to say it's easy if you got the drive.
It's hard if
you think it's going to be an easy job.
It's easy, but it's not simple.
No, definitely it's not simple. Every deal is its own animal.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I like about it. Every deal, I learn something new. It's like, to me, I always was a big learner. That's why in prison, books was my safe haven. I used to read books. My claim to fame is I'm a book entrepreneur. I probably read, I know it's over 500.
Right.
Because at one time, I used to read a book a day. That was my goal, to read a book a day. I was in the county jail. You ain't got nothing else to do. So I used to read a book a day. If the book was around 300, 400 pages, I could read it in a day. Coming home, so I saw YouTubing. She was like, "Yo, I think you'll be good at wholesaling," because she always say I got the gift of gab.
Right, right, right.
I don't know.
Gotta have a certain way to build a relationship and bridge a gap. It's a gap that you got to bridge in wholesale. It's not just, hey, I got a house and you got people, but you got dynamics with the seller of the house. You got dynamics with the buyers because you have to know their business, right? You a contractor, so you kind of knew the business.
I had an inside scoop.
Okay.
Yeah,
how'd you get your first deal?
My first deal came from listening to YouTube. I used to listen to this. My first guy was Max Maxwell.
Oh, yeah. He moved to Dubai.
He what?
He live in Dubai now.
Oh, yeah, but I know why he do, too.
He became a permanent resident.
Shout out to Max.
I like Max Maxwell. He put out gems.
Yeah, I always heard people say, listen to one or two gurus.
Right.
So my two gurus
on the bigger pockets. YouTube. Did you find them on bigger pockets?
I don't know. Somebody gave me his name, I guess. I don't know. Max Maxwell and then Jerry Norton was my other guy.
I don't know Jerry
and
Norton,
then
but all right.
Pace Morby became my third guy because him and Jerry Norton did a lot of, they did this series on creative financing.
Okay.
Which it was like a 20.
And I will say that, bro, we be talking about deals and you're like, yo, this is what we can do. And you I'm like, you did that before? He'd be like, nah, but I'm reading about it right now and I figured it out. And it'd be stuff I never heard of. Right? Yeah, I'm like, all right, cool. And then I'll Google it and be like, oh, I'm going to let you handle it, bro. Whatever you think.
Because you know why these things are so, like, you know what? I'm so big on mentorship and stuff because if they already walk the walk.
Right, right, right.
Like, if they already walk the walk, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. I mean, you ain't running the wheel. Right. You just doing what they did, right? Right. So, I mean, if you can comprehend
right.
and follow direction.
So tell me that first deal, then how'd you make it happen?
So my first deal, they told me to look for the ugliest house in the most beautiful neighborhood.
Okay.
So I found the neighborhood that next to Trenton was Hamilton, was probably most beautiful neighborhood growing up, I knew, right?
Hamilton, yeah. Yeah, like what part, like where out of Hamilton?
Off of Lella Street.
Okay.
So I was riding, I remember riding these couple blocks. I remember like 4 or 5 blocks. I don't remember what stopped me.
So you driving for dollars, basically.
Driving for dollars.
Okay, got you.
I'm driving through a neighborhood. I see a house. And I remember the first guy I stopped. I was like, yo, I thought he was a contract. So I stopped and I said, yo, you know anybody around here that possibly wanted to sell a house? He was like, no, nobody around here wanted to sell a house. So automatic, my first day I drive for dollars, the first person I asked was a guy that was negative and was saying basically like nobody wanted to sell a house. And I'm like, man, you know. So in my head, I was like, all right, have a nice day.
Right.
In my head, I'm like, you don't know everybody's situation.
Right.
And I'm tell you what drove me to really start clicking with wholesaling. I thought about it. I said 70% of people, because I Googled it, live paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
So I know during the pandemic that people were struggling with their bills. So it got to be a lot of people out here that's in distressed situations that want to sell their house for cash.
Okay. So you drive for...
That's my mind state.
Right.
So I'm driving for dollars. The guy tell me no. So I drove down there. I remember driving down the next block. I see 2 houses that's abandoned, but they buy a church. One of them is front of the church, and one of them's down the street from the church. And they're the only 2 abandoned houses on the street.
Okay.
And even in this neighborhood, like, because I drove around the whole neighborhood. So once I seen that, I seen signs of abandonment in the house. I went up, wrote down the address, took a picture, went home, got my girlfriend, which is a real estate, look up the addresses for me. And I was like, when she looked at the address, she looked up this one and she knew the guy that owned the house. She's like, I did a deal with this guy years ago. She's like, you remember the deal I did in Burlington, the 4 apartment,
right?
The 4 unit. I'm like, yeah. She was like, you know, that's the guy I dealt with. So we emailed him. He said, well, he said he forgot about the property. like he said that property had been abandoned 10 years.
That's how you know he got some bread.
Yeah, so yeah. He was an investor, so he had some bread.
Right.
And so he was like, you know, give me a fair offer. And I remember we giving him offer for like 40 grand. I don't know who countered at 45. Then we met in the middle at 42.5. And so when we got the contract, even though my lady was in the real estate, she never did a wholesale.
Right,
like,
right. Which that part is the simple part. The contract is the simple part.
Yeah, it's the simple part. Right. And we knew to get it under contract. So once we got in the contract, we like, all right, how we sell it, right? And she was like, well, we're going to put it on the market and we're going to get, you know, get people to bid for it. And they're going to send you an offer and you pick whatever offer you want, right?
Right.
Or whatever. So we did that. And we got good offers on it. So when we got offers as high as now we got offers as high as $105,000. Now we bought it at 42. So you already see our margins is over 50 grand.
Right, right. For your first deal too.
For my first deal. I'm like, oh my God. I'm about to make 50K. So right. I'm like, you know, I'm so happy, but I'm really not trusting it because I'm like, all these people be on YouTube. Is it real? Is
right, right.
You know, you start questioning it, right? Because
right.
I'm like, is they really going to give me this bread, right? And I remember we going through it and my girl was like, well, he's a investor. If he sees how much money you going to make off of it. But at the time, I didn't even know that he can't see it,
sure.
Right? She was like, he's going to find a way to pull the contract. I'm like, but it was under contract. But I'm questioning it. But at the same time, I never did a deal like this. So I'm like walking through it. So she convinced me. She said the best method is to double close it. So that's what we did. We borrowed $100K from a guy.
Right.
We double closed it. My margins were 45 grand. Ended up setting the offer for 87.5, which put me at 45 grand.
Okay.
Marginal, but... After
your first deal, But your first deal, you popped 45.
45, my margins.
Your margin.
I profited 28, 29,000.
But still, for one deal, bro, that's more than like, you know, your average. You can be in a high-end corporate job and you not banging out 28 grand in a month. You're not banging out 28 grand over a four-month period.
That was my first month in real estate.
So your first deal. So that set it off, man.
That set it off.
And now you're smoking it. Yeah, now you're smoking it.
Now, you know.
You diabolical. You a surgeon. I ain't gonna front, bro. I give you flowers. You a surgeon at this right now. Cause I call you, I'm like, yo, this is what I got, bro. And I don't think you ever said we can't make it happen.
No. One way or the other. We always gonna make it happen.
Yeah, we can make it happen.
I'm a problem solver.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's awesome, man. I'm sure we can talk about real estate all day, but I want to get into really what the real passion is right now. Let's get into this. Man. So, you know, y'all heard about Martin's story, and in 2.5 years, what you've been able to accomplish, right? Mm-hmm. How are we going to help people break through? Let's talk about our concept of evolving doors, right? Why don't you tell us what's the next stage for Martin Dockery? And then this in partnership with Kenyon Hunter and myself, right? Y'all know my name, but I don't like talking in third person. Mm-hmm. But talk about that a little bit, bro. Like, tell the people what's next. I personally think that once we started talking about it, I was like, this might be one of the most impactful things that I've ever done, and my life's mission is to impact people. So let's get into that, bro.
All right, God saved me for a purpose, right? And it ain't just to come out here and selfishly get wealthy and and then connect.
I put you on my Wi-Fi.
And saying that, my purpose of evolving doors and your purpose of evolving doors is to basically show that, inspire and transform and tell people and show people that you can change your life post-incarceration. You could do something different with your life. And you can transition into whatever you want to be, you know what I'm saying? Don't let nobody tell you nothing different, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So evolving doors is an idea, but it's more of a passion, is to basically show that you can successfully transition from the person you are to being whoever you want to be.
No matter where you're starting from, whether it's prison, the prison of your mind, with corporate America, with not believing in yourself, with self-doubt, with obesity, whatever it is.
Because a prison is not only a physical thing, it's a mental thing.
Absolutely.
You can be 100%. Trapped. I remember telling people, if you take $2,500, you could buy this property and basically use it as a rental and make such and such.
Right.
And they was like, why would I do that? I'm like, to create wealth. And they was like, well, I ain't got a family. Why would I buy a house? And I was like,
want to be wealthy one day or what?
You want to work like that all your life? Like, I'm just saying, I mean, some people took offense. Maybe it's how I said it. You know what I'm saying?
So,
I don't know.
So what are we... what are we bringing to the world through the interviews and the reflections of this upcoming collaboration?
All right, yeah. So we're going to interview and dive deep into what is that drive? What changed their life? What was that moment like? You know, I know my moment. I know it was an evolution of time.
Right.
But everybody transitions differently. I can do it in 3 months.
Right.
You might do it in 6 years. You might do it in 30 years. You might have to do 10 bids. You might do 5. But I think that by these guys telling these stories and giving the world these stories, they are actually giving somebody else inspiration, hope, blueprints to how to program and change their life, giving them the secret sauce.
Right.
The secret sauce. So and we're going to dive deep and figure out
what kind of
they drive.
What kind of people we gonna have on here? Who you got? Who comes to mind? Give people a little preview, little sneak peek, some background information.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we got people from that we know, people from Martin's Travels,
people we didn't even meet yet.
People that are out in the world that y'all know because they're you know, social media has enabled them to become big or whoever they are. But
because I don't want to if they reach out to us and be like, yo, I like the idea of what you're doing,
right?
And I got a story to tell, and I think that basically, like, my story is inspirational, transformational. Right. And I want to tell them, reach out. Absolutely. Me, you, yeah. Let's go social media. Let's hear them. Let's,
easy to reach out at Real Estate Agent 007.
Yeah. Yep. And the underscore Martin Dockery, Martin Dockery, because I ain't social media, or Martin Dockery on Facebook. I really go by my name, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But
yeah, more details on that.
So we gonna get into these guys' mind state. We're gonna get into their background. We're gonna get to what changed them. We're gonna get to what their future looking like.
A lot like this show where we started from, right? Where the beginning was, the middle, and then the transformation.
So let's get into our last phase.
Right.
Is I gave y'all the caterpillar, I gave you the Cancun, and I'm gonna tell you the butterfly.
Right. Tell me about. Oh yeah. All right. Let's get into that.
The butterfly is after we went through all that. Now we're getting to the years where we're all them lessons and experiences. Now we get to the years we be successful because now we made a lot of mistakes. So in these years, we're not making the same mistake. Even our guys that came from the depths of hell. We're not making the same mistakes. Right. The butterfly effect is our success stories, is the after effects, is the showing that you don't have to make the same mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you my Cancun and my caterpillar stages, but you can just go straight to the butterfly if you want to.
Right, right.
Everybody ain't going to get it. Everybody, if we talk to 100 people, it's probably going, you know, some people got experience than hard knocks.
Right, right.
That's just life. But
right.
If we can, like me, for me, because I know how much pain, I know how to suffer, I know how challenging, I know what I had to go through. And if I can change one person direction before they hit that cell door, if I could change one person direction before they hit that corner to make that first sale or do that first pill or commit that first robbery or shoot that first person, then
that's a change.
That's a change because we're doing this for the passion. We're doing this to transform lives.
Right.
We're doing this to impact not only our town, but every town out there, because
the world.
You know what? By me and you traveling, we know that is a hood everywhere.
Everywhere.
So people get
there's
stuck
on MLK Boulevard
hood.
In every
town. It's an MLK Boulevard. It's a drug addict. It's a dope dealer. It's a robber. It's a shooter. It's a fraud guy. Every neighborhood.
Right.
But if I can get tapped into just, I'm going to tap into more than, because you know why? I like to set goals. We're going to transform many lives.
Many lives. Absolutely.
We ain't going to transform one or two or three.
Nah.
We're going to transform many lives.
Millions.
And
millions.
Just for me, this transfers to me doing a lot of mentorship. Because I want to touch people. Reentry. I want to touch people. Reentry. I've been tapping into people.
Right.
I've been inspiring people. But I want to do it on a platform basis where I'm reaching everybody.
Right.
And people coming in, they giving us their testimonies. And they giving us that raw uncut. As opposed to, you know, you getting that behind the scenes and they filtering out and they, you know, we gonna get them real.
You know me, my specialties, I'd like to pull and extract out of people, right? Conversation.
Yo, listen, I remember going home and after talking to you, trying to chronologically out how my life was. Because listen, let me tell you something. Being in and out, you know what one person could probably relate to me? Wallow.
Right.
Being in and out of prison, yo, I swear, I forget the dates.
Yeah, word, okay.
Yo, bro, I was like, damn, what, I was locked up, 92? Yeah, I was home 95 summer.
Right,
I was back in 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001.
Right.
Came home 2002. You know, so, I mean, it's like incarceration, like it really will. Like,
because,
and that's another reason I go to therapy and I subscribe to my brothers that's coming home from prison. We think we all good, but you're going to have some residual effects of being in there no matter.
I ain't even been to prison. We all got it because we all out here working and we all out here just so many, dealing with so many distractions, dealing with so much stuff.
I used to do this from prison. Anybody can relate. I used to, when you go to the mess hall, right, I used to do this in restaurants when I first came home. Yeah. When we go to the mess hall, we have spoons and we got to keep our spoon. So we wipe our plastic spoons off at the end of eating chow, and we wipe it off with the bread to clean them because we ain't have napkins.
Okay.
So we wipe it off with the bread and stick them in our pockets. So here I go. I'm at the restaurant. I'm Capital grilled up. I'm sitting there wiping the spoon with my breast. No, unconsciously. And unconsciously. I say that we gonna have some residual effects being incarcerated.
Yeah, no
especially
doubt,
if you've
no
been
doubt.
Incarcerated over a significant amount. And I ain't just talking about just going to the county jail. I'm talking about them brothers. I mean, some people did 5 years in the county jail, so I could be talking about
right,
that.
Right.
But I'm talking about them guys that not just a drunk and driving 90 days. I'm talking about them guys that did excessive time in prison.
Right.
And basically, like, it's gonna have some residual effects. So you gotta basically like me. For me, spirituality is good.
Right.
Like, you know, today I just came from church. Got an amazing lesson.
Got that word.
Yeah, pray more every day, and not pray when you're down. Pray when you're up.
Pray when you're up. Yeah,
people forget about that. They pray when they're down. Oh God, this day. But when you're down, I mean you're up. That's when you gotta pray.
Right.
When you're all the way up and you're living your best life, get up and pray.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, bro. Yeah. And the spin is. See, a lot of times when you break out of a prison, you feel like there's a revolving door. Like, we see it too much where people, you break out, whether it's a prison physically or a prison of your mind, you break out and you tend to go back, right? Because a lot of times people don't know how the six phases of sales, six phases of real estate success, six phases of mental success, it's you got to go hard and grind for 90 days. They say about 90 days of hard work, repetition, commitment to get into a momentum. Right. And then momentum is that next phase. And then eventually you're going to be in so much momentum because you're building and you're used to it. And what was hard is now easy because it's habit. And we know our habits create our lives. And then the goal with momentum is to get into the next phase. And you know what the next phase is, right? The next phase after momentum is, I'm sorry. So after momentum, you get into the flow state. The goal is to get into the flow state. The flow state is when you worked hard. Now what used to be hard comes easy.
Yeah.
Now you're in it and you're doing it every day. Now you're repeating it. You're duplicating it. You're hitting different portions of the wealth quadrant. And the flow state is now it comes easy.
Yeah.
Everything is easy. Yeah. Things are flowing to you. Referrals, business, success, abundance, you know, prosperity. Things are just flowing to you when you get into that flow state. And that's the goal.
That's the goal. And that comes along. That what you're talking about is living righteous.
It is. No, but and my point was with that was the problem is most people don't understand once you get momentum, you might have worked for 90 days, maybe you worked for 6 months to get to momentum.
Yeah.
But it only takes 3 to 4 days to fall out of momentum, meaning you stop what you're doing for 3 to 4 days. That's why a lot of times you have that revolving door. You go back, right? But this is evolving doors, right?
Doors.
You're going to walk through that door and you're just constantly going to evolve into the best version of yourself, man. So, man, I'm really excited about that, bro.
I'm really excited about that, man.
I want to wrap up a little bit so we can get to work on evolving doors. So, tell me a big dream.
You know what?
That you have. So, all right, bro, look. Yeah. I think the world's going to be super excited about what we're doing, right? Evolving doors and these stories, the testimonies, it's going to be crazy impactful.
Crazy.
And I can't wait to get started. As a matter of fact, we got to end this so we can get started on it. But I do have three questions you got to answer for me.
What's that?
Three questions, right?
All right.
I forgot to ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up. What did you want to be when you... Did you have a dream? Did you have a thought?
Somebody asked me this before, right? And I really... I can't answer that truthfully.
Yeah,
but
truthfully.
If I could say if I probably did have one, it would probably be... Like a guy from my neighborhood, like a Bayshawn Lewis or...
My boy Bayshawn Lewis?
Yeah, or Andrew Austin was Fish, huh?
Yeah.
Or Flip Wilson or...
Right.
I'm going to name some legends from my town that was in the... Legends in the street game, right?
Yeah.
And, I probably dream to be one of them guys because that's what we looked up to our neighborhoods.
Yeah. I mean, look, life for us was different, man. I remember we talked about the first time we stole something. I said, I went to Langco and stole a pack of baseball cards. What you tell me the first thing you stole was?
Yo, the first thing I stole was food.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I stole. I was in a foster home that the people were starving me.
Right.
And me and my sister, and then I remember they had this store. Never forget, it was called IGA. It was on Hermitage Avenue in Trenton. I was in a foster home around the corner. And I remember these people just having chains on their refrigerators and cabinets. And my sister, you know, basically I had to survive and went to IGA and I used to steal the feed for me and my sister.
Right.
And that and I always say that, you know, basically that's my seed to criminology. I mean, being in that criminal world, that was the first time, you know, basically like I stole, got away with it, and knew that I could survive.
Right.
You know, because you out there surviving when you're
in
the street.
That's what it is.
You're not living, you surviving.
Right.
Is a difference.
Right. Right.
Living right. Living is
that's real.
Is different.
I think that just makes the story and what we're doing so much more impactful, because you looked at where you were, where we were, and where we come from to where we are now. We got to help other people get there, brother. So answer these three questions. And I'm going to give you three statements. You finish the statement. You finish the sentence. Next year, I will be
a multimillionaire.
Okay. In 5 years, I will be
A symbol of hope.
Symbol of hope. My impact, this is my favorite question, by the way. My impact to the world will be?
My impact to the world will be, what you mean, my impact to the world, like
when
inspiration?
When you leave this earth and you go to the next phase of your soul moves on, what are people going to say about you?
Remember about me?
What are they going to say you did?
He never give up.
Right. Facts. Word. Love it, bro.
It ain't nothing that I... And you know what? I'm going to say this. He never give up. And I don't believe there's nothing that I can't do.
Man, I love it. I know that's true about you too, bro. So
there ain't nothing I mean, can't do.
That's why I be hitting you like, yo, I got this deal. What you think? You like... We'll make it work.
Yeah,
and I don't care what... It's not even real estate related sometimes. It's just... I mean, you done called me some deals. I'm like... Bro, you gonna make anything work. You know what I'm
saying? Anything. You know, yeah. Bro, business and like I love it, man. Yeah. I do. I truly is a, and it fits. Like, that's why I say people, that if you want to do something, you gotta, like, kind of like me, I fit something into my lifestyle.
Right.
Like real estate, I like dressing nice,
right,
smelling good, teeth, brush, pick, cut.
Right.
Right. Like, right. I like, that's my life, right? And so if I picked to be in the garbage man, even though I made a lot of money, it wouldn't have fit who I am.
Right, right, right.
So real estate, I found my identity in real estate.
Right.
I found my identity as a businessman. And I just knew that, you know, I mean, we need something for every role. That just wasn't my role.
Right. We got to figure it out. Aware.
And I remember coming home and my PO and everybody was like, get a job, even my family. Like, get a job. I'm like, get a job. I'm like, I'm 45. Get a job. They're going to pay me $15 an hour. Like, right, I'm calculating that in. I'm like, all right, I can afford a tricycle at the end of the year.
Right, right.
Like, they ain't going to work. They ain't going to work for me.
They ain't going
to work. And, I used to study great, successful people. I studied Steve Jobs. I studied how eBay started. I studied, one of my favorites is can I give a shout out to one book that I, because I'm a book connoisseur, right? Cupcake Brown.
Cupcake Brown. I don't know nothing about that one. Tell me about it.
I'm Cupcake Brown.
Cupcake Brown.
Cupcake Brown was so inspirational.
What is it about?
Cupcake Brown is about a girl that was in a gang that basically became a lawyer.
Okay.
She was in the gang, bingy, bingy, da, 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 da. Went back to school. And I want to say her big claim to the fame, and they don't quote me on this, but I want to say she never even graduated from high school.
I'm writing it down right now.
And she a lawyer. I think she was from L.A. too. But look up the book. It's called Cupcake Brown.
Yeah, I'm on Amazon.
The book will trick you, right? Because there's a big cupcake on the front, right?
I've probably seen it. But
you're definitely tricky,
bro. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to what we're doing.
Yes.
How can people connect with you, follow you? I know you mentioned Instagram. You on the other channels as well? Because so people gonna want to talk to you. Gonna want to reach out.
So now I know I've been talking a lot about the real estate, right?
Right.
And honestly, I've been running my business so far in real estate. I'm a young guy in real estate. I've been getting business by word of mouth. I don't even do marketing, honestly. I spent my marketing budget is $5 a month.
That's crazy.
So, I mean,
most wholesalers.
I'm starting off small. I can't get no big back
office. Most of them tell you to go spend $5,000, $10, all mailers.
I know what they say, but I don't.
You know, skip tracing systems, all types of stuff.
I don't even use skip tracing. I mean, I don't. I learned. I, I learned from the ground up, so right. I learned how to do it for
so you
free.
Still wholesaling from just referrals and from the arm?
From the arm, referrals, right. And I do all. The only thing I do pay for every month, excuse me, is PropStream.
Right, PropStream, yeah. That's a CRM for wholesaling, right?
Yeah, CRM. Okay. No, PropStream is not only a CRM, it's a skip tracing site.
Okay.
It's like it's like the MLS of wholesalers.
So like other properties that other wholesalers they'll have on there?
They got they draw the lists from the MLS, okay. Redfin, Zillow.
Oh, okay.
So it's
gotcha.
Actually more information than you actually will find on the MLS,
really?
Honestly.
For off market properties though.
For
everything,
but because it got
it's linked up to all
it draws its information from MLS.
Word.
And the Zillow, Redfin,
okay.
Realtor.com. So where the MLS only draw it from the MLS,
right.
It don't draw from the other places. PropStream draw from other places.
Got you. Dope. Yeah, dope. So. Well, look, bro, I appreciate you. We're going to come through with the Evolving Doors series. Y'all going to just love it. It's going to be impactful. So we're going to get to work on that. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Like, subscribe, share. Yeah. YouTube channels in the bio and link and all that kind of stuff. You reach me at realestateagent007 if you want to have a conversation. And
I got to do a shout out. To my lady Kyra Brisson and the Brisson Group doing big things at the Business Club. The Business Club Club is downtown Bristol. They has a co-working event space. It's a crazy energy vibe. It's these entrepreneurs. I see entrepreneurs walking the door. 1 month and a few months later, I just see them leveling up. Like
I love it.
I love that level up phase, that glow up, that blow up, that level up.
Yeah.
And I'm all about that, man. For real, like, man, I like people to live how they want to live.
Hell
man.
Yeah,
live
no
how
doubt.
They want to live, baby.
No doubt. Well, look, y'all check out the Business Club. I'll be checking it out. We're gonna be doing events there. We're gonna be doing some shows there. A lot of stuff there. Check out the Business Club. You know, shout out to the Business Club. But in the meantime, y'all be easy. Y'all stay super blessed. Till next time.
Yeah. Peace.